Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, we welcome you to the NFL Pregame Show, NFC Wildcard Edition. Alongside Dylan Goldman, Eric Watkins, and Josh Hallory, I am Stephen Herr. Last night, before we get to the NFC Wildcard games, guys, last night we had the craziest game thus far in the postseason, Bengals at the Steelers. Josh, you're the Steelers fan. I'm going to let you recap this game for us.
Okay, so... Yeah, I actually missed the first half of the game, so really nothing happened in the first half. It was just a bunch of field goals because the Steelers were moving the ball, but they couldn't punch it in. Then during the second half, third quarter, they were finally able to score a touchdown after getting some turnovers. And then Ben Roethlisberger, all hell started to break loose when Brian Schezinger, I probably said his name wrong, but he absolutely laid out, who was it for Cincinnati? I think it was, I'm trying to remember which running back who it was who got laid out, and there was a fumble, but soon after that, all hell broke loose, and the fourth quarter was just a madhouse. We had the Bengals actually being able to move the ball. I was terrified. I was watching the Steelers collapse in a way that only happens in my dad's worst nightmares. And then, out of nowhere, on the last drive, after the Bengals score a touchdown that should ice the game, we throw a pick with Landry Jones. Then the Bengals fumble it, so we get the ball back. And Ben Roethlisberger, who looks like he might have separated his shoulder, honestly, comes back into the game, leads us down the field. We're right outside field goal range with 20 seconds left and no touchdowns, and then the Bengals just had a mental collapse. Well, really just two players, Perfect and Pac-Man Jones, but yeah, that's how the Steelers won. I'm still computing how that game happened in my head. It's the playoffs, so when people ask me, Josh, do you think the Steelers deserve to win that game? I just say yes. They were the ones who were able to keep their cool mentally, and also, it's the playoffs. A win's a win. I'll take it.
I agree with you there. Dylan, Eric, last night, what a crazy game. Bengals had it in hand. They fumbled it away. They penalized it away as well, give the Steelers the 18-16 win. What's your takeaway from last night's game?
Leave it to Joey Porter making plays for the Steelers in the playoffs. Not that anybody you would think for this time, but he went out there, and you always, even hearkening back to the Josh Norman, Odell Beckham Jr. matchup, know the right guys to where you can get in their head. There was a lot of chippiness earlier in that game, even with the Bengals player and the coach on the Pittsburgh sideline. So it just seemed ripe for it to happen again. Perfect time, and the Bengals live up to their nickname in the playoffs. Now you wonder, what's it going to be like for Marvin Lewis?
I don't know how he keeps his job after this collapse, and it's really sad because he's been one of the best regular season coaches over the last decade, but he's the 21st century version of Marty Schottenheimer. He can't get it done when it really counts.
I was just about to say, you took the words right out of my mouth. He is the modern-day Schottenheimer, and Schottenheimer, even a 14-2 regular season in San Diego, couldn't get it done in the playoffs. So if Cincinnati's front office is smart, sadly, he's going to be done.
I agree with Eric. 0-7 in the playoffs in 13 seasons, and this guy still has a job. Last season, after they lost to the Colts, they gave him they gave him a contract extension. And I was wondering, why did they give him a contract extension? He's a winless in the playoffs. He only made the playoffs half of his years. The other game was Houston-Kansas City. We're not even going to talk about that, but I'll let you guys know. If you didn't miss the game, the Chiefs beat the Texans 30-0. Brian Hoyer threw 4 interceptions. Now the Chiefs will play the Patriots, and the Steelers will travel to Denver to take on the Broncos. But today, in the NFC wildcard, first game of the day, and I hope you guys are warm, while people at TFC Bank Stadium in Minneapolis are not warm. Vikings will host the Seahawks in the game that's going to be at kickoff. 0 degrees. Last meeting, two teams met. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I was on Twitter just now and saw that Russell Wilson was warming up and it was -6. And he's looking like he's going to try and play without gloves. I don't know how smart that is, but who knows. The weather's definitely going to be the biggest opponent for both teams today in that game.
I just have to say, real quick, one of the top 10 coldest playoff games ever. First game for Minnesota in the playoffs outdoors since the 76 NFC Championship. Oh, boy. Glad I'm watching from my couch here in Florida.
I'm happy in D.C. I mean, at least it's not that cold up here.
Yeah, we're all different places over here. You got Eric down in Florida. Dylan's down in Florida as well. I'm here up here in New Jersey. It's 61 degrees and pouring rain. And you have Josh down in D.C., which is pretty nice there as well. So last time the two teams met, 38-7, the Seahawks won. How did the Vikings turn it around this time around?
It's the run game, honestly, because you know that you're not really going to be able to throw in these conditions, especially with Teddy Bridgewater, who's been great, but this is his first playoff game, and you just want to make sure that he doesn't get caught up in the moment and start making some bad mistakes. Of course, the Seahawks are going to know that, so they're probably going to play with 8 guys in the box all day, so it's going to be interesting to see how that happens. I think a huge key for them, and I'm going to be a bit of a homer here because I've watched Stephon Diggs at Maryland and saw the game changer he could be, is getting him the ball. And something that the Terpins were never able to do was to get him the ball in situations where he can run. So I wouldn't be surprised if some Ender Rouser, even if he takes some snaps at running back, with Adrian Peterson in the backfield, just to mix up what the Vikings are doing and try and give Seattle some different looks.
And for me, one interesting thing, we know that this is going to be a battle of field position. Anytime you mention a wind chill of -23, that's what you're going to get. So, yes, you're going to see Peterson. Also, you're going to see Stephon Diggs mixing up, trying to get Seattle off balance. But one key thing to win the battle of field position is going to be special teams. Can Minnesota take even more pressure off Bridgewater and get themselves some boost in the return game to set up shorter fields to give them an advantage? If they're pinned back deep, you put 8-9 guys in the box for Seattle, hey, game's almost over right before it really begins. So what I'm going to start keeping my eye on today.
Totally. It's about the running game. It's about time of possession. Time of possession is very key. Whoever needs to win the game today, they're going to have the ball for a longer time, because this way you run the ball, you chew the clock, and you keep Russell Wilson off the field. This will be very key because with Seattle, they're starting Christian Michael. They got Bryce Brown. They got Fred Jackson. Obviously, on the other side, you have Adrian Peterson. He's obviously much better than the other running backs at Seattle sports. Maybe we'll see some Russell Wilson runs. I'm not sure. But it's definitely about time of possession, special teams, and Adrian Peterson is going to need to have a very big day, or else we probably will see another Seattle victory. But I would definitely expect to see Adrian Peterson heavily, heavily involved in today's game, especially with the frigid conditions.
Yeah, another thing to note that actually helps Minnesota going into this game, especially given that it's going to be an old-school game, something from the 60s, is the fact that they are the only raw NFL team who's had the same 5 offensive linemen start all 16 games. And that consistency and the guys being comfortable with each other is definitely going to be huge for them, especially as they try to pound the run game. and feed Adrian Peterson the ball. Also, I think that we're going to see beast mode today. After missing a bunch of games with sports hernia surgery, he is listed as probable last time I looked at the injury report.
He's out, I thought, right? He didn't travel.
I hate to break it to you, Josh. Marshawn Lynch didn't even travel to Minnesota. He's back in Seattle looking for doctors. He's still out I believe it was an abdomen injury.
Oh, wow. Well, that shows how much I know. I need to pay more attention to the injury reports.
And that's all good. Speaking of the Seahawks, Russell Wilson has been the hottest quarterback in the league the past 7 games. After losing to Arizona and Seattle on Sunday night, he has thrown 25 touchdowns and 1 interception. How do the Vikings stop him?
Pray for an act of God.
I mean,
I honestly don't know. I think that the weather and just how frigid it is the best thing going for the Vikings when it comes to slowing down Russell Wilson. We've seen it. He's been one of the most efficient quarterbacks since he came into the league. The thing about him is he never tries to do anything that he knows he can't do. And that is, we've definitely seen that over this last stretch where he's thrown 25 touchdowns and less than a handful of interceptions. And this is where that type of decision-making and poise and composure really comes through in games like this.
Yeah, exactly. It's really, really hard to stop him. I mean, the guy really can do it all. He has a lot of weapons, and especially with very little running game, he has to be relied on more to throw the ball and even run the ball. Really, the weather is what could stop him because you really are not going to see as much throws as you would in a normal condition game. So if you have to say something, it would have to be the weather. Maybe they try to make the running game beat them, make the running game get touches, get carries, blitz, do something. There really is not much you can do because Russell Wilson is not only a great passer, he's a great runner, so he can really move in the pocket. It's nearly impossible to stop him completely. They can try to contain him. Maybe the weather will play a factor in this. I'm sure it will. They're going to run the ball a lot despite the fact that they have Christian Michael in. So, really, it's kind of hard to stop him. There's not much you can do. Throw in some unusual blitz packages that he's not used to. Throw in some zones. Maybe try to cover the receivers the best you can. They have a lot of weapons. It's really hard to stop him entirely, but the weather could play a huge factor against Wilson today.
And I'm going to go on to that point. Well, the main thing, the weather, I don't think it can fully stop him. It can slow him down. Remember, he finished out his college career at Wisconsin, led him to the Big Ten title game. So he knows how to play in the cold. Really, the best thing with those blitz packages, keep them in the pocket and kind of force them to stay with this revamped read option to where he does run less. Because if he's running and he gets comfortable running, well, that's just another weapon that you're going to have to worry about. If you keep him contained and really force him to make some more throws, that would be your best chance.
So going back to Adrian Peterson, I just wanted to ask you guys, is there any stopping him? And if so, how do they do it?
You just bring up everyone in the box, which I really think is what Seattle's going to try and do. They're going to have a lot of run blitzes. They're going to play with maybe one safety back, but they're never going to go into a two cover. So, yeah, it's that. Just crowd the line. I mean, as much as we like to say that the Legion of Boom isn't what they were last year because the Seahawks finally had to pay everybody, they're still one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, like Josh said, they're just going to have to stack the box. We're not going to see too many throws, especially from a young quarterback like Bridgewater. He's very inexperienced. So Peterson's going to be running a lot. The Seahawks know what to expect. So they're going to crowd the box, stack the box. They have a lot of aggressive defensive players that definitely can get after the running game. Peterson can be an outside runner, but he's mostly an aggressive inside runner. So look for the Seahawks to stack the box and force them to make the throws in this weather. I do not expect I do expect Peterson to have a good game. I think he's going to get a lot of carries. But if Seattle were to stop him, they have to stack the box and force Bridgewater to make the throws necessary to win this game.
Who wins?
I'm going to flat out say it, especially after my pick yesterday. Seattle's going to take it. I don't see them letting Peterson really get to the second level. Going to be one of those more old school games, as Josh said, 20-10.
I agree. I'm going to pick the Seahawks too. They're also my Super Bowl pick. I just don't see Teddy Bridgewater being able to step up and throw very well in this cold weather. I know obviously they're used to it, but I think they're going to have to rely a lot on Adrian Peterson, and the Seahawks are expecting that. We talked about Russell Wilson. He is red hot. No one's been able to stop him. I think he's going to continue to make those necessary throws when needed. The running game is going to do just enough, and the defense is going to step up like they have at the end of the year. And they'll pull out another. This will be a close game. It's going to be an old-school, low-scoring game. Give me 23-13.
Okay, now I really want to go with Minnesota. I like a couple of things going for them, but I also realize they've got a young quarterback going up against the Legion of Boom. There's not going to be many opportunities for them to get the run game going if that doesn't get started early. And their defense has been pretty good, but they, outside of the red zone, they're ranking about average in every category. And the Seahawks have been incredible over the last stretch, probably the hottest in football. So I've got to go with the Seahawks. I think this is going to be a real low-scoring affair. 17-10 Seattle.
I'm also going with Seattle. This Vikings team is way too young. They have a second-year quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. They have a rookie in Stephon Diggs. Meanwhile, the Seahawks have so many veterans who have been in the Super Bowl at least twice in their career. The next game, which is 4:40 Eastern Time on Fox, down in Washington, D.C., is the Redskins host the Packers. Now, the Packers, they are a Hail Mary away from 3-7 in their last 10 games after starting 6-0. The Redskins, they've just been played a straight-up hot. NFC East champions. Kirk Cousins is having a great year. Is this going to be a one-sided game for Washington?
You know, it makes you intrigued to say that the way both teams have played. But the playoffs, this is a different season. The regular season is over with. I understand the Packers are skidding into this game. They've lost three straight. Aaron Rodgers does not look the same as he once did. And Washington is inexperienced. They were in the playoffs a couple years ago, but that was a couple years ago. Kirk Cousins will be starting. This will be his first playoff game. I don't really know if you can expect a one-sided game because this Green Bay team has been in the playoffs and the Super Bowl once and then the playoffs so many times. They know what it's like, and they know they have to step up to the occasion. So maybe Washington can win. I don't know. Personally, I think I'm going to pick Green Bay, but I don't really say you can expect a one-sided game. I think the playoffs is a whole different season. I know Washington's coming in hot, and the Packers not so much, but this is a whole different season, and Aaron Rodgers and his team understand what they have to do. Washington's very talented. Kirk Cousins has had a spectacular season. But I'm not sure quite yet you can say this will be a one-sided game. I think it will be a very good game.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, the one thing I was going to mention, I'm looking at the battle of head coaches, and I'm specifically looking at Jay Gruden. Now, he's got something of a football pedigree himself from his time both as a quarterback and as a head coach in the Arena Football League. And I say that because even then, he's had a lot of big games, both sides of the ball. But in all of his tenure, spanning more than a decade, he only wound up winning two championships. Now, yes, he still won two championships, but his team, the Orlando Predators, were perennial playoff contenders. So that leads me to believe, how can he even translate that here to the NFL? Yes, he can guide a team to the playoffs, but can he see Kirk Cousins through? Are the same deep balls to Deshaun Jackson, the scrambling, getting him wide open and running against a tough Green Bay Packers team who can easily look to take a quarterback out, although not in a malicious way, can that translate? Whereas with Green Bay, they've been there, they've done that, they're stable, they're some of the old guard, and even with Aaron Rodgers, strangely enough, he's not under as much pressure as he should be. So for the few doubters that he has, he wants to try to win another ring to shut them up. So that's really what I'm looking towards.
I'm not going to lie. I honestly think that the Green Bay Packers might be the most overrated sixth seed in recent memory. And I'm well aware sixth seeds can come and win the Super Bowl. I've seen my Steelers do it. But outside of Aaron Rodgers, I don't really know who to hang your hat on with this team. I mean, yes, Rodgers is probably – okay, he's definitely a top two quarterback in the league. You could flip-flop between him and Tom Brady being the best quarterback in the NFL right now. But his receivers haven't really been able to get open so far this season. His running backs haven't helped him take pressure off of him. And the Packers are 29th in run defense this season. So those aren't looking good. Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins, he's not going to win you a game with last-minute heroics, but he takes care of the ball, he gets the ball to his playmakers, and most importantly, he doesn't turn it over anymore. Granted, there is always a chance he could go back in the time machine and we get Kirk Cousins from 2 years ago who literally was throwing interceptions at a historic rate. But I feel like they've got him comfortable in this offense with Jay Gruden. Like you said, Jay Gruden's played in a lot of big games. So even though this is his first playoff game as an NFL head coach, he's not going to be too overwhelmed by the magnitude of the game. So I really think that the Washington professional team can get the win here.
That leads to my next question. Who wins?
As much as I would, honestly, so I was born in D.C., got a lot of family in D.C. There's something about Kirk Cousins, and I'm glad that he's developed. He's seen a lot under Gruden's tutelage, but there's something that just rubs me the wrong way. I see Green Bay taking this week, getting it all together, and really putting on a bit of a show. This one's probably going to be the shootout of the weekend. 34-28. Packers survive in advance.
Same. I would love to pick the Redskins. I love what they're doing. Their quarterback has clearly developed in such quick time because he was named the starter just before the year started, and clearly he's done a pretty good job. Jordan Reed's a great tight end. Their defense is coming together. But it's just hard. I know it's hard for me to pick against the Packers, especially with all the experience they have. I don't know. It's just that I feel like if I were to pick the Redskins, it would just go completely the other way. So I'm picking the Packers. I think they turned things around today. I know it seems bleak. They had a really rough end to the year, but they're going to turn things around. It's a different season. I'm picking the Packers in a shootout, 35-24.
You heard me. I'm going with Washington. I mean, RFK Stadium's going to be rocking and rolling. I just feel like the Packers are a little overrated. They're a team who I'm not really sure if they're good. I mean, they had a chance to win the division and lock up this as a home game and blew it last week. I really don't know if this Packers team is the same team that we all think they are. So I've got the Redskins winning. It's going to be a lower-scoring game if they're going to win. So I've got it 24-21 for them.
I'm going with you like that. I'm going to Washington in this one because, like I said, Packers 3-7 in their last 10. Or should have been 3-7 last 10. They're 4-6 after a Hail Mary win at Detroit. They made bad history this year. First time since 1991. They lost to the Bears, Vikings, and Lions at home. That type of team does not win a playoff game in my book, especially if you go 3-7. Your final 10 is starting 6-0. Josh, you weren't on with us yesterday. Who is your Super Bowl 50 champion?
Okay, so being an irrational homer, I'm like Steelers all the way. But if I'm being more realistic, I really, really like the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton has hands down been the best player in football this year. Their defense has been legit. Outside of their lack of receivers and the way Cam Newton's been playing, he's making Tenkin Jr. look like a legitimate number one receiver. I really think they've got the confidence behind him that they can win. And also, this is a team who's been building up to this. I mean, they've made the playoffs the last couple of years, so it's not like Cam Newton's going in like a wide-eyed freshman. He knows what has to be done.
So next up on NBC is Vikings and the Seahawks. Al Michaels, Chris Collins on the call. At 4:40 Eastern time on Fox, Joe Buck and Trey will call the Redskins and the Packers. Everybody enjoy the NFC Wild Card. We'll be back on Saturday for the divisional round. Until then, alongside Dylan Golden, Eric Watkins, Joshua Lurie, Stephanie Diaz will join us next week. I'm Stephen Herr. Thank you all for joining us here on the NFL pregame show, NFC Wild Card Edition.